from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm so excited about the group that we have, the tight ends and the receivers, because it's so many different skill sets. And you hope that that versatility allows it to play a little harder on defenses to defend of, hey, this guy can run short, but he also can push vertical, and it's not only certain guys doing certain things. And so I think you guys saw a couple yesterday of just seeing Dalton do some things going vertical. We know we saw that he can do that last year. And so something that I hope for all of our guys, you know, that's a part of their repertoire.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady, tight ends getting vertical. We talked about that like the first month of the season with Kincaid wanting to see more downfield targets. They started to come. Coverage training camp here from St. John Fisher University is presented by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it, and brought to you in part by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case, what's your outlet, and by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. Jeremy and Joe, good morning, and joined by Sal Mariana of the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. Good morning.
How you guys doing?
We're good. We're good. You've got news to share. I want to pass along a message on behalf of Howard, I'm sure, about the Mets and the Yankees. He would ask me to do that. But good to see you. Good to have you here.
Howard tweeted me, I think the next morning after the 12-3 debacle, and he actually felt sorry for me. Imagine a Mets fan feeling sorry for a Yankees fan. That's the world we live in right now with those two teams. But, it was funny. I went to Citi Field with my son for the first time. I hadn't been to the ballpark. And I get down there. It was the second game in June, the monsoon game, the one that unbelievable storm. And Howard was tweeting at me or texting me, "You got to do this. You got to do that." It was great. Howard's a huge Mets fan. I love him. He's great. So we have no animosity.
All right,
Howard and I.
All right,
we are good buddies.
Good.
Yes. So what did you ask me before I went off?
You're here. You're back at camp again, but you've got news.
Yeah. Look, I know it's a very crowded podcast space. Everybody's got a podcast these days. But Adam Bonini and I are going to go get back into the game here. We got contacted by a company called Believe, and they're a national podcast network, and they want a Bill show. So Adam and I are going to start it. We hope to get rolling next week. So we're hoping for all you Bills fans. I know you've got plenty of options with Sal and his podcast, and all these guys have podcasts. We will give you more than 70 years of experience on the beat, and we're a little more crusty than some of the guys who do podcasts, so you'll get an honest take for sure.
You beat me to my question, because I was going to say the tagline has to include how many years of Bill's experience, right?
It's unbelievable. I mean, this is my 35th year full-time, and then I predate that about 7 or 8 years, even go back to college, because I work for the AP as a stringer. So I'm over 40 years of actually you know, in the locker room doing stuff. So, and Adam did it, I think, from the late 80s he came to the Buffalo market. So, yeah, we've been around a while. He's off into semi-retirement now, but he couldn't stay away. So we're going to do this together.
Well, you've been through several different versions of the Bills, and this is one of the more fun ones, right? It's like, life's better
these days. Oh, absolutely. Jeremy, are you kidding me? I mean, my first 4 years on the beat, they went to the Super Bowl. I mean, my first decade in the 90s, they only missed the playoffs twice. And then we had 17 years of an abyss, right?
Yeah.
So to have it come back around like this, obviously they haven't gotten back to the Super Bowl or won it, but this has been a fun, fun team. I mean, ever since Josh Allen, you know, 2019 really, when he really started to show what he could be, this team's been a lot of fun. And these last 4 years, I know people were aggravated that they haven't won a playoff game or a Super Bowl. They haven't even gotten there. They're frustrated by how these seasons have ended, especially the last two at home. But look, people, people tell me this all the time about the Yankees. Enjoy the season. I just can't do it. So I guess I see where Bills are coming from, Bills fans are coming from. But enjoy what you've had, because this era, hasn't quite matched the Super Bowl era. Obviously, seven Hall of Famers on that team. But this is a damn good team. They've been a good team for so long, four straight divisions. Enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah, you know? There's a lesson a little bit in there that I try to think of, too, where don't just treat every game in the regular season that you're attending as, okay, well, now let's see what happens in January.
Yeah.
Like, the moment they win a game as you're walking out, like, okay, we'll see if they beat the Chiefs again. Like, that could consume you for months, and then you might leave the season feeling like is that kind of how you feel like that's been building up? Where this camp, does it feel different in that way because of their past failures in the playoffs, and maybe also more so because of the transitions, that this camp for fans feels a little different than the ones in the past couple years?
I don't know if it feels different. I think there's more trepidation in the fan base about this camp and this team this year. I mean, they moved a lot of very good players off the roster. Now, whether you agree with those decisions or not, I mean, I disagreed with the Mitch Morse, but the other ones were pretty understandable. The Diggs trade, I was fine with that. I don't know how you guys felt about it. I was fine with that move. I mean, financially it works out. You move on from a guy who I think is starting to decline.
They got great value. There's no
doubt
about that.
They got excellent value in that trade. So I was fine with most of the moves they made, but this is a different team. I mean, there's a lot of expectation on the Bills. You've got your superstar quarterback right dead smack in his prime. So, yeah, there is more pressure, I think, to win this season particularly because it's a different team. They made so many changes, so many new guys, so many young guys. I think the division's going to be better. I think the Jets are a problem. I said that last year, and then Rodgers got hurt four plays in. I think they're a problem, and Miami will be pesky.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to say it. Like, right now I'm thinking about this new version of the Josh Allen Bills. It's like a great band releasing a new album of a different style. Like, all right, let's see how these draft picks go. Let's see how Keon Coleman pans out, Cole Bishop, some of the free agents they brought in. Curtis Samuel could be a really – like, if Samuel hits, that's going to be – an identifiable signing for years because he's so cheap. $8 million for a receiver is nothing. So they had to go in a little cheaper direction. They had to do things differently with $60 million in dead cap. So I don't necessarily look at this season as everything that they want to be, but I heard someone say they had to thread a needle to stay competitive the level that they have been while also making these changes, and that they've done a pretty good job of threading that needle, it would seem.
It feels like it to me. People, again, the big storyline has been the wide receiver room. We all know it's a brand new room. I've asked the question a couple times this week of Allen, of McDermott. I asked it of Brady. This might be the most diverse group they've ever had, right? And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how he fits all these pieces together. You've added some speed with Valdez-Scantling. Somebody can catch the ball, which sometimes has been a problem. They haven't had that element since, what, John Brown in 2019 that can just go straight down the field. I think Shakir is going to make a step up this year. I think Samuel is a really nice player. I really do. Maybe he's not Stephon Diggs, but you know what? Stephon Diggs was a superstar for 3 years. Last year, he's coming back to the pack, right? And he's getting closer to what Curtis Samuel still might be at this point. So I'm not too concerned about that. I think they've got some nice weapons. They've just got to figure out how it's all going to fit. And I think they have a good chance to still have a very nice passing offense.
How do you feel about a tight end kind of leading the way?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kincaid, I asked Brady this question yesterday. That might have been the clip you just used about getting him vertical. I got frustrated last year. I don't know about you guys, but this is a guy that we saw in college could take it down the field, and all they did with him for maybe three quarters of the year was throw passes within 5 yards of the first of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Get him downfield. If he's gonna, if you're gonna run your offense through Dalton Kincaid, which they very well might, you got to get him into space and let him make some plays, because that really didn't. 73 catches was great. I think he had a 7 or 8 yard average per catch, or whatever it was.
I remember seeing a Laporta highlight early and thinking, how come Kincaid's not doing
that?
He can do that.
Exactly.
And I got to find ways to do this. It might have been my biggest problem with Dorsey was Kincaid just did not seem to be involved in the way that they needed to. You know, over the course of the season, Kincaid and then Shakir, too. Shakir didn't, by many accounts, have a great camp last year, and he was kind of slow to come along. And then all of a sudden, that popped, too. Whether it was earning the trust of Josh Allen, yards after catch stuff, whatever it was, it's like the light went on. We don't always use that with receivers. But for Shakir, I feel like his return here, the role he returns to, is another thing that gives Bills fans a lot of comfort, because they've got two weapons that I feel like are very reliable, and the other things we'll still find out about.
He ended up – he left training camp. Now, again, Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs were here, so his role was going to be limited anyways. But he left camp as a guy – actually, two camps in a row where – can he catch the ball? He was dropping back. Guess what? He had the highest catch percentage in the NFL last year. The highest catch – I think it was 87.5%. You know, and obviously the opportunities weren't huge, but when he got the ball thrown to him, he caught the ball. So I like him. Is he going to be a dominant, you know, 85-catch guy? No. But he's going to be part of a puzzle here with all the different skill sets they have that I think could make this offense hum.
Deeper down the board at receiver, we've talked about Coleman a little bit, Samuel. How about guys like Claypool, Justin Shorter? I mean, is there anybody on the back end that has caught your eye to this point?
Yeah, I mean, Claypool, to me, you know the talent is there. We all saw him play at Notre Dame. His first year and a half, really, at Pittsburgh was very good, and then he just kind of fell off the cliff. A guy that big and that physical, you've got to find a way to utilize him, right? There's a role for a guy like that. He's just got to get mentally, you know, into it, because I think he lost that a little bit playing for the Bears, and then he hardly even played for the Dolphins. I'm interested by him. Shorter, I just haven't seen. We don't know. He's a fifth-round pick. What are we really expecting? I know Shakir was too. What are we really expecting from Justin Shorter? They've got NFL veterans at the back end of that depth chart that you've got to look at those guys first. You've got them for 1 year, basically, all those guys, right? Claypool, I think Valdez-Scantling's a one-year. Yeah. Utilize these guys in this window, and you can still stash Justin Shorter and Tyrell Shavers on your practice squad.
What do you make of Joe Brady so far? And how much do you think is worth taking from the end of last year when he's coming in on an interim basis? So I can't imagine it. Of course, I can't imagine that it's the whole offense that he would want to run, but you're in the middle of the season.
Right.
How different do you expect it, I guess, to look this year versus what we saw him calling at the end of last year?
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that they've changed some things in the playbook. Obviously, he wants to put his tweaks on things. But again, when you've got this quarterback, this was the money quote of the offseason, right, when he said it's Josh Allen's offense. We've all used that 25 times in our stories so far. It is Josh Allen's offense. So it isn't so much what Brady is going to want to force feed on the Bills' offense. It's going to be, Josh, what do you like to do? Well, guess what Josh likes to do? A lot of what Dable was doing and some of what Dorsey was doing. So I don't think there's going to be this huge transformation in the offense. It'll look a little bit different, and I think it'll look different because there's so many different players. But I'm not expecting all of a sudden they're going to be, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust and throw short passes all day. That's not going to be it.
Sal Mariano of the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. So defense, life after Hyde and Poyer. I mean, that's a big one.
Yeah.
You know, the changeover back there, when it comes to this secondary, are you one that has just a level of belief in McDermott? I find myself there all the time. Like, I think Sean McDermott is going to coach up a secondary. He always does. Whoever's back there, they do, by league standards, an incredible job. And now it's pretty much a brand-new group. Douglas, Benford, Taylor Rapp, Mike Edwards. Like, it's going to be a different look, but I just tend to lean on the idea that it's just going to be good.
Absolutely. I think you're right. You hit it right on the nail on the head. He's a great secondary coach. And let's remember, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer are both, 32, 33 years old. They aren't the same players they were 2, 3, 4 years ago. These guys coming in, are probably just as good at this point as Poyer and Hyde. They're younger. They got to learn the system, and that's going to be interesting. I think it was a good move to bring Rapp back because he's got the 1 year in the system. He was a good player for the Rams. They're not a great player, but he started in a Super Bowl. I mean, he was a good player there, so I think he'll come in and be fine. Edwards, we'll see. And then Cole Bishop is going to be groomed, you would think, as the next guy. I don't think he's ready yet. I think it's going to be Edwards and Rapp as the starters. But I think it's going to come along. The interesting job is going to be, to me, I want to see what Kyir Elam does in this camp. Can he push Benford out of his starting job? I'm interested in looking at that, too.
It's going to be tough to do. I mean, Benford has been a really nice piece
but
for them.
But he can't stay on the field. Yeah. He gets hurt a lot.
Well, that's where Elam's camp might be important, is they've had Dane Jackson really every year for, what, 3 years? They've ended up having to go to that third corner for a consistent basis. And Benford, you mentioned the injury problems. Like, right now, Elam doesn't have anybody pushing him for, like, who the third guy is.
That's
least.
Right. There is no depth there after those three. I mean, I don't know about Jamarcus Ingram. We've seen him a little bit, but they might end up – that's a spot where you might see them sign a guy later in camp or the preseason if a veteran guy comes available.
Yeah.
Calling plays on the defense – do you have a feeling on that?
No. And honestly, I don't even care. Yeah. I really don't care about that. I mean, I'm interested in the offensive coordinator, but the defensive – it's McDermott's defense. It always – when Leslie Frazier was here, it was still McDermott's defense. He had just as much say on game day probably as Frazier. It was just Frazier in the helmet making the call. Whether it's going to be Babich or McDermott, whatever. It's McDermott's defense, and Babich has been here the whole time, so they're going to be on the same page.
You just mentioned, you know, they might add a corner somewhere. I'm surprised – I thought throughout the last month or two there would be another defensive end that came in at some point, whether that was Emmanuel Ogba, Yannick Ngakoue, just one of these guys, the hired gun defensive end. I guess they signed them earlier in the offseason with Dwayne Smoot and Casey Tuhill, but it's a position that they clearly value. They spend lots of money, big assets there, and if Vaughn is not right, then I might have concerns. I mean, Epinesa had a nice season, but I kind of want to stop there, like a nice season.
Look, Greg Rousseau is a first-round pick, and I think he's been good. I don't think he has played up to the first-round status yet. I mean, he's got 17 sacks, but I don't think he's been that guy you worry about overly on game day, and that's the kind of guy they need. That's what Von Miller used to be. Epinesa, nice, solid player. Whether he's a two or a three, you know, he'll probably start this year because I don't think Von Miller should be starting. But I think that's a problem. I think their edge rush – they lost Leonard Floyd. I think their edge rush needs to be better this year.
Would it be fair to say you need Rousseau to take, like, the Oliver leap? Again, Oliver was good.
Yes.
And then they re-signed him, and he went to another level.
Rousseau is 6'5" and a tremendous athlete. He needs to be a more impactful player. He's been good against the run, which is fine. They expect that out of their edge rushers. He needs to be a guy who's in the backfield more often this year.
Is there pressure on McDermott this year at all? Like, I feel like we're in a period with him where we're just, like, it doesn't even really come up despite the fact that they haven't had the playoff success, because it just feels like there's this recognition all around that, like, he's their coach, they love him, and that's just kind of it. Almost no, you know, if they won three games, maybe it would change, but almost no matter what the season results in.
There's no pressure on McDermott. He is locked and loaded for this year. I mean, look, if they somehow miss the playoffs, they go 8-9, are you going to fire a guy who's taken you to 6 of the last 7 years and 4 straight titles? No. I mean, he's good for this year. Now, next year, if they miss the playoffs this year and they stumble next year, then, yeah, I would consider it. But you said it. They love him. Mm-hmm. They love Bean and McDermott the way Ralph Wilson loved Levy and Polian back in the day. I don't see there's any way that McDermott's on the hot seat ever. Well, this year, ever.
Yeah. There's pressure applied himself, but the idea of hot seats, I've never thought that that's anything close with ownership and McDermott and how things have gone. And this is the start of another run here. Like, it's almost like, all right, your first go at this was a 5-year, 6-year window. It went really well. We'd like to have higher returns or a higher finish. Now let's see the next. I mean, I would probably bet 4 or 5 years at least, because They're going to be good on defense.
Well, that's where
Josh Allen's going to carry them to wins.
They just extended him last year for, what, I think it's 4 or 5 more years. I mean, he's not going to eat. He's got a good coach in play. I always say this, too. Okay, who are you going to go get?
Right. Who's the other person?
Who's the next guy, right? I mean, we've seen all these new guys come in. Mike McDaniel, the nutty professor, right? What's he done? No division titles. Gave one away last year. Can't win in the playoffs. I mean, what are you looking for there?
Well, that's why I wanted. And this is almost kind of a different conversation because this is not the Pegulas or pressure from above McDermott. But and you hope this doesn't happen at all. But last year, when the team got to the middle of the season and it was, you know, what were they, 6-6?
Yeah.
At one point last year, for fans, the heat got turned up. And sure, there, of course, will always be complaints about McDermott, but it was on Dorsey, right? Like, he was the guy that was getting blamed and that was getting a lot of the criticism, at least from fans, and then even the Bills, they fired him. And I do wonder if this year is getting rocky, where will fans turn their attention? Because I feel like it probably would go to McDermott, but I guess I don't really know. Brady's in his first year, and the receiver core is what it is. I don't know if the heat would get turned up on him. I just think it's curious, where will fans turn their attention if they're unhappy middle of the season?
Well, it's going to be McDermott because it's always the head coach, right?
Yeah.
Fans were upset with Andy Reid before he started winning Super Bowls. I mean, it's always going to go to the head coach, undeservedly, in this case at least. So they're not going to focus on Bobby Babbage or Joe Brady, most likely. Especially Brady, like you said, in his first year.
They could. Bean could get some of that too, but I feel like he often doesn't. And it's the job I think the job he's done has so much respect. I do wonder if this year's any different because of the receiver core.
Yeah.
But it might depend on how it's looking. Which, you know, you mentioned like 8 and 9, they somehow missed the playoffs. Like, how likely do you think it is that there is a season like that?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I do think that the Jets are a real threat in the division. So, I mean, the Bills could very easily be in the wild card mix this year.
Yeah.
But I don't see them. I still think they're an 11-win team. And if that's good enough, great. If it's not, that's going to be a wild card, I think.
And it won't take long for, I think, fans to, again, this season's still got to play out, but to turn the page and immediately say, well, $60 million in cap space coming off the books, the opportunity to
you have an extra second-round pick for a big trade.
I mean, they'll add even more next year than they did this past season, their offseason.
I mean, you don't want to say it's a bridge year for the Bills because it's not a bridge year. This is still a Super Bowl window, but in some ways it kind of is.
Yeah. The Chiefs won in a bridge year.
Yeah,
you know,
like exactly.
Sometimes that happens. All right, Selma Ariana of the Democrat and Chronicle and the new podcast with Adam Benigni as well.
We were debating last segment, what's the greatest position in Bills history? What's their greatest position ever?
The collection of talent at one spot.
Because I think we agreed that, like, tight end, like, there's the bar, like, Kincaid.
That's
to be
pretty
the,
low. That's a blow bar.
Like, for Kincaid to be the greatest Bills tight end ever, it might not be that hard for him. Is it running back automatically?
I was going to say I think it might be running back. You've got two Hall of Famers in OJ, and you guys didn't see OJ play, and all you know him is the murderer. But unbelievable.
And the guy in commercials.
And the guy in commercials. He was spectacular. And then Thurman was spectacular, too. And they've had some good guys. You know, I mean, Fred Jackson was a very good – I can't go through them all, but I think it might be running back.
He didn't like me throwing guard out into the mix for all
– I respect
I've got Joe D, right? You got Reggie McKenzie. You got Reuben Brown.
Billy Shaw's a Hall of Famer.
Billy Shaw – multiple Hall of Famers.
They've
just saying.
Got some Hall of Famers there.
I went team guard.
I went if you're going peak defensive end. They've got a lot of great defensive ends
Years. It would have been nice if Von Miller could have been great for the Bills. That would have helped your argument.
Yep.
Yeah.
He'd
but
stay
he hasn't
healthy.
Been. He hasn't been. But, yeah, I mean, Bruce Smith's the all-time sack leader, so that's right there.
If Von doesn't tear his ACL year 1-8 games in, like the numbers he would have put up that year. Is it 16, 17 sacks? He had 8 and 8 games.
He had 8 and 8 games. I don't know if he would have slowed down at his age, maybe. But it would have been a very good year.
But he had not just 8 sacks, but they were all third down game changers, strip sacks. I mean, he was doing exactly what they
signed him to do.
Yep.
And then the unfortunate injury.
Closing out games.
It's too bad.
Yep. All right, Sal, thanks so much.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Always good to see you. Back in a moment, we've got Tyler Dunn coming up this hour as well, Sean McDermott at 9:15. We expect to hear from him and sit down with him as well. So keep it tuned, keep it locked here on WGR from St. John Fisher University at Buffalo Bills training camp.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
One of the coolest moments of my life, golfing with him. Obviously, such a big fan of him growing up. Me and my brother. My brother got to caddy for me, too, so we get to spend some good time with him, asking some good questions. Didn't invite him to camp, but if he wants to come, he can come. We got Oak Hill right in the backyard. He can come play, you know, so we'll see.
I have not seen Tiger Woods here.
Can Tiger just show up at any golf course in the world and just play it without a tee time? Yes, right?
The answer to that is no, because there's a course locally that is run so terribly, you know it, that wouldn't let him.
Okay. You can go ahead and
DM me for that one if you want it. We'll just leave it there.
Yep. But he and Josh could just show up to Oak Hill, like no call ahead, and they just let him out?
Yeah.
100%, right?
Yes. Yeah, why not?
If Tiger Woods walked in like right now, I mean, it would be like... I don't know if there's a sports figure in the world that I would, like, melt more for.
Messi?
Not me personally. I mean, Messi is a bigger name globally, but here? Messi, who is in Miami right now playing, part of the reason that he said, and you can see that he has joined Miami, is he's just going to, like, the grocery store now. And, like, he couldn't go anywhere in Europe. Anywhere. Without 100 people surrounding him. So he might be here in America because he doesn't like that. If Messi walked by a training camp, how many people would approach him?
That's a great question.
He walks in right now. He's got a Bills jersey on. It's a Josh Allen jersey. Messi walks by. How many people will approach him? A few. Not everybody. He's not getting swarmed. Tiger's getting swarmed.
Yeah, that's probably right. Nate Tice, is that who has this piece? I want to ask you a question. No, immediately a text asking, are you talking about this golf course? No, not that one.
Okay.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Nate Tice, breakout candidates in the NFL. Every position in the league, he predicts a breakout player.
Okay.
One Buffalo Bills player appears on Nate Tice of Yahoo Sports. Breakout candidates. Who is his breakout candidate for the Buffalo Bills?
I'm going to guess that Dalton Kincaid is his breakout candidate.
It is not. His breakout tight end is Trey McBride.
Oh, okay. Trey McBride, who is going as the number two fantasy tight end
yep.
in drafts right now. All right. His breakout is – I would love it if it was Christian Benford.
It is not Christian Benford.
Benford's got to get some
Every time you do this, I'll give you the answer of who he said. The breakout at corner
okay.
that he has – His corner, Derek Stingley Jr., Roger McCreary, and Kyler Gordon.
Oh, there's multiple names at some.
Sometimes.
Well, like that position, there's three starters, so
that's
that
right.
Makes sense.
That's right.
How many guesses is this going to take me to get? How about Terrell Bernard?
Yes.
There you go.
Terrell Bernard.
All right, it took me three. I like that.
Is his breakout candidate for the Bills. What he writes is, you have the tall task of filling in for Tremaine Edmonds. He not only stepped up, he thrived. High IQ, speed, tackling. You know, the linebackers are lighter and faster. And the one thing Bernard did, he fits so well. It's funny. We think about how he made so many plays. He did it post Milano.
Yeah, he did.
Think about the plays that the Bills got from their linebackers, and Matt Milano was not on the field.
Right.
The two of them together, is it the best tandem in the league?
It is.
Maybe just from a playmaking standpoint, if they're both healthy?
It feels like it has the potential to be one of the best linebacker cores in football. Let me ask you this. Are they so good and so important that you think they would have won the Chiefs game if they played it?
That's a trick question.
Why?
Because the Bills have never stopped the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Right.
And the idea that they would have had they been healthy, I just don't know if I buy it.
Because it was the thing the Chiefs picked on
they
them
probably,
the most
I want to say yes. I want to say yes, they would have beaten the Chiefs because it's the weakest version of the Chiefs offense they've ever had.
Yes.
And if your defense was healthy,
well,
yes, I want to say they would have done it, but it's...
I know they never stopped the Chiefs, but the Chiefs did not do that to anybody else in the playoffs. The Dolphins, like,
right.
They were okay. They were fine.
Right, the Chiefs were bad in the second half against the Ravens.
They scored 3 points from the second quarter on against Baltimore, and it's not like they were prolific in the Super Bowl. That took overtime, and how many points did they score? 22? 19? Maybe they had 19 going into at the end of regulation. Like, I can buy... Right, it sounds crazy because the Chiefs have beat them in the playoffs these other times where they haven't been able to stop them. So it feels like the right trend. But I don't know. I think I could buy that if Bernard and Milano were healthy for that football game, they would have beat the Chiefs because Kansas City was not doing that to anybody. And those two are that good. Milano we know is that good. Bernard, we feel pretty secure even though it's only 1 year, right? Like there were – he had 6.5 sacks. As a middle linebacker last year.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much should I credit him for that because, you know, those are blitzes and how many of them is he unblocked. But he should still get some credit, I think. The interceptions, he had 3 on the season. Some of those were in big moments. There was one against the Eagles that I remember was a big moment. Did he return one against the Raiders? Is that right also? He had 2 in the first 3 games. So you were getting splash plays from him. Yeah, I think Bernard is a good... I mean, he couldn't have done any better for them trying to replace Tremaine Edmonds.
Want to guess, around the league, other candidates, Nate Tice, breakout candidates. Guess his receiver?
His receiver... Does Nico Collins count as a breakout anymore?
I think Nico Collins broke out last year, but he doesn't list Nico Collins.
How about... breakout candidate Jaxon Smith-Njigba?
No.
I like him for that this year, personally. What level of player are we talking about? A guy who's done nothing?
I wouldn't say a guy who's done nothing.
He's done a little?
Receiver, generally, I have a rule.
Jahan Dotson.
No. I have a rule of thumb when it comes to receivers. Everyone out there, if you're in my fantasy leagues, don't listen to this. But you do the same thing. If Matt Harmon says he's good, you should trade for him in fantasy and dynasty. And this is a guy who is absolutely going to break out this year.
Jaden Reed?
Drake London. Drake London is going to go from Desmond Ridder to Kirk Cousins. And if Kirk Cousins is healthy, Drake London's going to go nuts. The Falcons are going to be good. The Falcons are going to contend for a bye. Their defense is a mess, but their division is bad.
I think that's why I want to bet them for this.
Like, what are they going in their division? 5-1? 6-0?
Like how bad is their division? Their division should be bad, right? Tampa's fine.
Tampa's fine. Carolina.
Carolina's a joke.
The Saints.
Are the Saints bad or are the Saints just boring?
They're nothing.
that's what I mean.
There's nothing.
Are they undoubtedly the least interesting team in the NFL?
Probably.
But are they terrible?
They have Chris Olave. He's good. Yeah, they're terrible. I don't know.
All right. Yeah,
Atlanta is
appealing to me because of the bye part of it. If they have that week of division and they could get a bye, and even if we arrive at the playoffs and we think, well, Atlanta, they had 13 wins, but do we really think they're better than San Francisco?
Right.
Do we really think they're better than Dallas?
They could be the one seed Titans.
And that would, to me though, in the NFC, you don't have Mahomes to play against, you don't have Burrow to play against, and you just got to win two home games to get to the Super Bowl?
No. What can I get odds right now in Atlanta winning the division, being a top two seed and losing their first game? That's what I would bet.
That's what you want?
That's what I would bet. Lose their first game. They would lose right away. Cousins in the playoffs. Like, right away. Play a good
Cousins
defense.
Cousins in the playoffs, I know. Yeah.
Anyway, Tyler Dunn in a moment. Sean McDermott, 9:15 here on WGR. All right, good morning from St. John Fisher. Rolling along. Randy Arozarena got traded. I've been asking Joe and trying to determine during the break. I remember having a take about something that Randy Arozarena did, and I don't know what it is, and I'm just going to try and find it. I'm on his Wikipedia page. Anyway, on to more important things. He got traded to Seattle. Tyler Dunn joins us from GoLongTD.com, the great website, the great reporter, writer, general Western New Yorker, great.
What? I just opened Tyler's story from this morning. I scrolled down a little bit, and the first line I read was, Matt Collins hates cats.
I know that. We're learning about all these receivers. You've got
this
a piece up at your website, golongtd.com, about the receivers that you've just published.
I do, and great to be here. Thanks so much, fellas. It's fun to be back, too. I had a very short-lived collegiate career here at St. John Fisher.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, actually saw the old football coach, Paul Vosburgh, yesterday. We were laughing about it. So was here for a hot minute, then transferred to Syracuse. But, yeah, this is awesome.
Memories from Fisher? I mean, what do you got? I mean,
well, over my shoulder is Happy Hall. I mean, there may be some memories of other stuff there, you know, getting written up a time or two. But, no, football is fun. You know, D3 talent is real. I mean, the talent that was here at Fisher, I think we made the Final Four that year and lost to Mount Union, was unbelievable. You know, like playing high school quarterback at Ellicottville is one thing, and then, you know, you're a seventh-string linebacker at Fisher on the JV squad. Yeah. So they were good.
Mount Union's like the Chiefs, by the way, aren't they?
Yeah.
D3?
Oh, yeah.
Union is a machine.
Absolute juggernaut.
Yeah.
No doubt. Yeah, that's what everybody's doing.
Them and
in
Wisconsin
for, right?
Whitewater,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Are those
yeah,
the two?
Lance Leipold.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
That was his
yeah.
time.
So the receivers, Tyler, it's probably the biggest talking point about this training camp, right? Like this group, there's a lot of, let's see how it goes. There's a high investment in a draft pick. There's a journeyman, Curtis Samuel, who a lot of people think there's a lot more there with a better quarterback. Your read on the group as a whole and individually and what you wrote about.
It was fascinating because, I mean, we've gotten into it, right? On this show, on our podcast, it was a bold, ballsy decision to do what the Bills did because they could have taken the San Francisco approach, taken the Cincinnati approach. Look what those teams are doing. And John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are saying, sorry, Brandon Ayuk, you're under contract. You can, you know, hold out if you'd like, miss paychecks if you'd like. And he showed up. Same thing with the Bengals, right? We know how the Bengals do business. They haven't even thought about paying Jamar Chase, let alone T. Higgins. And
Higgins shows up. I would take them to task for the Chase stance.
Yeah, mean, Mike Brown. Oof.
That's quite interesting there.
So, I mean, the Bills could have done that. You know, when I sat down with Brandon Bean, that's the way I phrased one question. Like, you could have called his bluff. I mean, this is a maniacal Kobe. I know you talked about Jimmy Butler earlier.
Yeah.
He is in that vein. Like, I can't see Stephon Diggs, say what you want about him, just missing games, right? But instead, they took the opposite approach. Early in the offseason, you know, I think it was the first week of April, before the draft, a full month before the draft, you are trading Stephon Diggs for a second-round pick and then mapping out a completely different course at a premium position with the best quarterback this side of Patrick Mahomes, with their Super Bowl window open, and you don't know how long that's going to be open. So, yeah, I talked to Curtis Samuel, Marquez Valdes-Scandling, Chase Claypool had a lot to say, as he tends to have a lot to say.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Henry was just awesome to chat with about all of this, to see where this goes.
Yeah, Bills receiver coach Adam Henry. You know, this group, Joe Brady talked about it yesterday, Tyler, that he feels like he's got a diverse skill set with this group. You know, Samuel's on the smaller side. The rest of them, they're size. And to use a phrase that didn't work out the first time, but maybe this time will and is used a little bit more. There seems to be a bully ball mentality about the way they want to play. They want receivers that are bullies too.
No doubt. I mean, they big likes to throw to big is the way Adam Henry, the receivers coach, put it. Right. And Keon Coleman, you have that quintessential X that you know is going to be out there and is capable of bullying corners. And, you know, Matt Collins, you mentioned him. Marquez Valdes-Scanlon is big, but he's a burner. You know, he's got 4.3, 4.4 speed. And I think that was a really underrated signing. You know, just a shade over 2 mil to get him. A dude who made a play against you in the playoffs that essentially won the game. And Marquez broke that play down. He was never supposed to run that route. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to do a post corner, clear it out for Travis Kelce, and the way Von Miller was lined up really, really wide and the way Rasul Douglas was in press coverage, it sandwiched him at the line, and he's like, oh, man, I better get the hell out of Dodge and just run this other direction. And lo and behold, the double-A gap blitz forces Mahomes to step up, and he's wide open, you know, open down the field. So, you know, I think they're looking for somebody that can make that catch in that moment. Something Stephon Diggs struggled with. I think they're kind of grading on a scale in that regard. At the same time, you know, what was the analogy that Sean McDermott used? Like, you've got a lot of different utensils in the kitchen drawer, and I get it. Like, and they do. They all do different things. Mm-hmm. But in Stephon Diggs, you still had, like, a machete in there. And it's going to take a while, I think, to really judge this all.
Yeah, MVS is interesting. I like the idea that he's played at the highest level. I don't just mean the NFL. Playing with Rodgers, playing with Mahomes. He's not thought of as any sort of star or top-tier receiver, yet he does earn the trust of the guys at the top. And if they didn't think he could play, he wouldn't be on teams with guys that good.
And he takes umbrage with the narrative around his name, too. Like, he wanted to go somewhere where there was an elite quarterback in place. That's why he waited until after the draft. He had a ton of offers, but he wanted to go to the right spot. But I think it kind of bothers him when everybody says, you're a product of these quarterbacks. He went out of his way in this story to say, look, I make them look good, too. It ain't no one-way street. You know, they're benefiting from me as well. And, you know, strong words, but you look at a play like that one in that moment against the Bills, and he's got a point.
How does Chase Claypool strike you, given that he's got a reputation in the league for, you know, there were things in Pittsburgh, there were things in Chicago, maybe even work ethic-wise. And it's been said about him that he's got an ego. That doesn't always be a bad thing, but how does he strike you in that way?
You know, I sat down with Chase Claypool, you know, right when he was on the rise in Pittsburgh, you know, that second year. You know, you look at his size, 6'4", like an 81, 82-inch wingspan. He runs a 4.4. This is Megatron stuff. And he's playing with a broken-down Ben Roethlisberger who's just kind of like lollypopping it downfield at that point. And I think rightfully so. We looked at this as a rising star. And what I loved about Chase Claypool then is he doesn't give a damn what anybody thinks about him. He's ripping Browns fans. He's going after, you know, opponents and whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know what? The bad boy Pistons, like, people couldn't handle them in today's social media age. So he is kind of a throwback in that regard. And then everything kind of went to hell, right? Like, mm-hmm. Pittsburgh had enough. They trade him to Chicago. And, he gets into a lot and why he still thinks he's that rising star that we all saw in Pittsburgh. But what's really interesting is what happened in Chicago. Didn't click from the get-go, really. But he said, and he didn't really want to get into too many details quite yet. I think he will eventually. But that the Bears forced him to play through an injury. Mm. And that he was at 40%. And you look back, I think it was week 13 against Green Bay on a fumble. He suffered a knee injury. He only missed two games, and he played the next two games. I'm guessing that's when he was 40%. And those bad feelings, those bad emotions just kind of carried through the offseason into the next year, and then he shipped off to Miami.
You've talked with a lot of players and a lot of teams. How common is it for players to be asked, pressured, forced to play when they know they shouldn't?
I think it's very common. Yeah, I think it happens just about everywhere.
I mean, your Kevin Cobb story from last year. I mean, that was the one where I felt like this has to happen everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're the player, like Kevin Cobb was unbelievably raw and honest with that all. I mean, that's head trauma. Those are concussions, and he signed that big deal with the Cardinals, and he feels like he has to be out there. And what are you going to do if you're Kevin Cobb? You feel that pressure, right? You want to justify that deal, and it takes somebody looking out for the player and protecting him against himself. I think there's more of that, Jeremy. I think there really is some more of that in with some of these coaches who are a little younger and maybe a little pro player.
And, you know, players probably do it, like you said, protect the player from themselves. In the case of Vaughn saying he probably shouldn't have played last year, and I guess if you wanted to be a cynic, you'd say, well, you should play for $20 million. The reality is he would have felt pressure. Like, I should try. I should be there for my teammates. And, you know, one of the stories of this Bills team this year is if Vaughn were able to get it back, it would be a massive, massive addition for them. They could really use it at a position that otherwise might leave something to be desired.
That I thought that was the takeaway from yesterday, listening to Von Miller talk about his knee. Like, and it's easy to go back and look at his comments ahead of the 2023 season, justifiably so. He was the one saying, like, I'm ahead of schedule, let's go, I want to play. But I think that's like the natural reaction for a player. So that kind of puts the player in a tough spot. It puts the Bills in a tough spot. They need him. They want him out there. Von Miller at, whatever, 60, 70% is still better than most edge rushers. But then you see him, and it's not the same player. And, hey, at his word, he says he's back to being Von Miller, the best he's ever felt in, what, 2 years. That would be a huge boom for the Buffalo Bills.
Tyler Dunn joining us here at St. John Fisher. GoLongTD.com. Before we cut you loose, Fran Brown, Syracuse, what are we looking at? We going to a bowl game?
I've never heard this much hype from everyone I know that's a Syracuse fan. It's like, you watch this year.
Secondary question, if they don't make the Natty, are you playing college football 25? Or are we taking them to the Natty?
I'm an adult, Jeremy. Oh, I don't play video games.
What?
There's a take that gets you canceled.
Listen.
I have children.
I have children. Don't you want to hear about my career at UB as the offensive coordinator? We just went on the road and won at Missouri. Huge win.
My group chats have become, here's what I did at East Carolina in week 12.
Listen, like, some of us have goals, all right?
I don't think I've played video games since, like, that freshman year at Fisher over the shoulder. Guitar Hero, and that was big. But
Guitar Hero
Syracuse,
was pretty sweet.
NIL has screwed up my brain. I don't even know what's going on with the Syracuse basketball team, football team. I'll only throw this your way, Jeremy, because the Brock Purdy numbers are starting to get thrown around, and he'll probably get that at some point. Do you know? So we had Dave Bowler on our pod. Sorry, another shameless plug. But he was at Syracuse at that time. He's a GM in the UFL now. He knew Brock Purdy really well. He knew the family really well. Brock Purdy was dying to play at Syracuse. He was there. He met with Dino Babers, and Dino Babers said, you know what, just don't think it's going to – he's just not going to cut it. Yeah. And Brock Purdy was in tears. He was crying in his car with Dave Bowler that he couldn't play for Syracuse. So
thanks for that.
What could have been.
That's great. That's like the story that Michael Vick was going to go to Syracuse, but they couldn't promise him that he would start.
Yeah.
That happened too, Joe.
Was Donovan McNabb there at the time?
No, he was going to be gone by then.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then that's not great.
Couldn't promise him he would start. And
got to let that one play out.
It's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. Hey, anyway, Tyler, great work as always. Thanks for popping in and enjoy. You got a camp tour coming up? You're going to New York next?
Yeah, so we'll be out there in Jersey around the Giants. Going to go down to Cleveland, check in on the Browns. I mean, really fascinating teams for different reasons. And probably, you know, maybe check in on those Miami Dolphins too. Maybe there'll be a Tua deal done by then, which is, God, I don't know where that's going.
Yeah.
It hasn't been done for a reason.
We got into it a little earlier. That is unlike any other contract situation, I think. I don't want to say ever, but it's not your typical battle.
No.
Because he's worth a lot to them, and he's not worth a lot to a lot of other teams, and they know that, and he knows that, and I don't know how that resolves.
If they don't blow that game to Tennessee,
they win the division.
Where's Miami? What are we talking about here with Buffalo?
Where do the Bills go then? The Bills go to Kansas City? They go to Baltimore? I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, thanks, Tyler.
Hey, thank you, fellas. We'll see you out there.
Sean McDermott coming up next segment. We're going to get to him. We'll ask him about the report today about Josh Allen, the leadership thing Tim Graham having, that Terry Pegula is kind of imploring McDermott and Bean to try and coax a more of a leadership style, different leadership style out of Allen. We will talk about that with Sean McDermott coming up next segment. So stay tuned. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.